Welcome to Talk of the Town, featuring the best in music, entertainment, and the arts. My name is Lisa Dascoli, and I'd like to welcome my co-host for this month, the very funny Annie Weiss.
Hi, Lisa. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, Annie, I'm so thankful that you could be my first co-host on this program. And I'm so looking forward to talking to our first guest this evening, a very old friend of mine and one of the most talented men in cabaret slash show business, Mr. Ricky Ritzel. Say hello.
Oh, I can say hello.
Say hello.
Hello.
Now, Annie, before we get started, I just wanted to catch up with you a little bit. By the way, how are your how's your family doing? How's Betty?
Oh, Betty's wonderful. We all know about Betty.
Betty.
She's great. It's almost 7 o'clock, so she's definitely watching Jeopardy.
Yes.
And she, every day, she has a ritual. She walks into the house, and she gets her little slippers on, her PJs, and pours herself a glass of wine.
Bang.
Shuffles into the living room to sit on the edge of the coffee table because we just got a new couch, and we don't have plastic on it yet.
So she doesn't want to sit on the couch.
She doesn't want We're not allowed to sit on the couch. It's a rule.
Okay.
We haven't gotten the plastic fitted yet.
Okay. They still do that, huh?
Betty does. I think it's like an old school Italian thing.
Yes.
I was just talking to a friend of mine, and he was saying, like, oh, man, when I was younger, I used to get spanked. I was like, you got spanked. I got the slipper. She had a good shot, man. She could have been Rick from Walking Dead. Right between the eyes.
Well, I always said that, you know, hell hath no fury like an Italian mother scorned.
Isn't
you know?
That the truth?
Yes, absolutely. So what are you up to these days? Where are you performing?
I'm working a lot with Bob Gonzo.
Yes, I know. We're on a time constraint here because you're going to see Bob as soon as we're out of here.
I am. He booked me for a show tonight at the Whiskey Cafe just around the corner, so I'm very excited for that. Mm-hmm. He's my main man.
Okay.
He's a cool dude.
Yes, and a good teacher.
And
I know that.
Fantastic teacher.
Where have you been performing lately? I know you've been...
I've been all over Manhattan, North Jersey. I've been doing a lot in Garwood.
Mm-hmm.
Jersey City, Nutley, you name it, I'm mm-hmm. there. I'm everywhere. I try to get out as much as I can.
And how's it going with the comedy? It's starting to pick up? Everything is...
Yeah, I mean, I'm just lucky that I'm booking work, you know? I'm just mm-hmm. excited to be performing.
So...
You know, we'll work for food. You know? I'm a comedian. I'm hungry, is what I'm trying to say.
Now, where do you get your material from? I mean, what inspires you?
Everything. I could be washing my hair and, oh, that'll be a good tag. Oh, that's a good punchline. And really, I just kind of like sit with my mom and just let her talk. Like, she does all the work for me. You know what I mean? She's just like one big ball of comedy show.
But they don't think they're funny. They look at you and they're like, you know, what are you talking about? This is not funny.
She's only came to see me 3 times, and she watches me like she watches Jeopardy. Like, she sits in her chair with her wine, puts her feet up, you know what I mean? And she just tries to, like, answer all my questions. I'm like, this is Annie's show, not the Betty show. This isn't Jeopardy.
So she talks back to you?
She talks back to me. And, oh, my God. So the other day, she texted my little sister, Hannah, who's 20, and she goes, for Christmas, I want Botox. And I was like, okay, great. I was like, I'll try to find something on Groupon. We'll figure it out. And then I'm like, no. I'm like, then I don't want to like perpetuate the cycle of like her getting plastic surgery, because it starts with Botox, then it's the breast implants, you know, then it's a tramp stamp of Alex Trebek's face. I don't want to perpetuate the cycle.
Okay.
No.
Okay, well, that's
wow.
Well, we're friends outside of this as well.
Yes, I love you very much.
Yeah, and you as well. And I thought it was just the right idea to have you as my first co-host for this show.
I'm so honored.
Oh, well, I'm thrilled because I knew that we would have fun. And that's what my intention is, that this show brings some joy and brings some fun and perhaps inform people of different arts events going on. So,
and a little craziness.
Oh, yes. Well, that's part of...
That's life, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I guess we should get to our guest.
Let's get to Ricky. I want to know about him.
Oh, Ricky. Well, see, this is a really special event for me this evening because we've known each other for 10 million years, and we had pet dinosaurs together and all of that. And this is the first we've seen one another in I don't, God knows how long. So this is like a wonderful coming home.
At least 15 years.
Wow. At least. So yeah, this is wonderful. Well, Ricky Ritzel is most recently known for his Ricky Ritzel Sings Elaine Stritch at 54 Below in Manhattan. And he is also the recipient of 14 Manhattan Association of Cabaret Awards in 9 different categories. So we have...
That's amazing.
I mean, we have quite an accomplished star with us this evening, Annie.
I have a high school degree. So you're doing pretty well.
It's only because I'm old.
All right, so we've known each other forever, but how did you get started in music?
I don't remember this, but evidently the family was watching the Lawrence Welk show.
Okay. I've seen reruns.
At least she knew who it was.
Thank
I mean,
God,
some
yes.
some kids I say the names to, and they're like, "Who?"
Betty makes me watch them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're still run on PBS.
Yep.
And evidently I said, when the guy playing the piano was on, I said, I want to do that. And I was 6. So they knew a piano teacher that lived up the street. And they thought, well, they'll start me off there. And I kept going at it. So they bought a old, upright from a church, mm-hmm. put it in the basement. Because they didn't want to make a valuable decision, an investment in a piano if I was just going to stop doing it.
Sure.
But then we had that for about 3 years, and they realized, oh, okay, he's going to keep doing this.
Okay.
That's
but you
that
knew.
Was it.
Well, two things. How wonderful that you knew that was something you wanted to do, and how wonderful that your family encouraged it.
Absolutely. And my family was not artistic at all.
Really?
No. My father was a baker. My mother was a housewife.
Well.
And, there was nothing.
Musical or artsy?
Nothing.
So you
in
were the
family.
Only one?
I was, yeah. Everybody in the early 20th century played the piano to some degree because mm-hmm. every house had a piano.
Mm-hmm.
It was
so
a
my
form
grandmother.
Of entertainment.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Because there weren't the televisions. Yeah. And
so they would
not.
Sit around and sing or tell jokes, and we can do that here.
Yes, that's what we are doing here tonight.
Sounds like a Tuesday night.
There's the piano.
Actually, yeah, there
that
it is.
Kind of cool for you.
Now, once you started playing, then how did you proceed to make this your profession?
Well, I took privately all through high school. And then when my teacher ended up being a teacher at Duquesne University in Pittsburgh, where he had gone. And he had me all set up to go to school there, scholarships and everything. And I said no. I didn't want to do that. Because I didn't want to be a concert pianist.
Mm-hmm.
Because my parents had taken me to every famous piano player, pianist.
Mm-hmm.
It was around in the 60s. I saw Horowitz twice. I saw Rubinstein. And we went to see Van Cliburn. And he was on stage for 3 hours.
Wow.
And said one word. And I knew, even then, I cannot get on stage and say one frigging word. No, not going to happen.
It's because you have so many things to say.
Exactly. So I wanted to go to acting school.
Okay.
And they were sort of shocked that I turned down this scholarship. But I kept taking privately with my teacher. But then I went to Point Park at the Pittsburgh Playhouse for acting. And
yeah,
that's... And I never did a musical until the last year I was there.
And what did you do?
The musical?
Yeah.
It wasn't really a musical. It was called A History of the American Film by Christopher Durang.
Okay.
And it's a takeoff.
Yes.
There are real songs in it, but original songs. But
it wasn't the classic American musical that we would think, like 42nd Street or...
Never did any of them. Yeah. I was doing Shakespeare and you know...
So you're classically trained.
Absolutely.
That is so cool.
Moliere and Brecht.
Ibsen.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, God, yes. Master Builder.
Yes.
The Wild Duck.
Oh, my goodness. I see. The audience does not know. That is so funny because if I've known you forever, as we said before, and you're just so light and comic and lighthearted.
Well, you know, if it wasn't for that training, I don't think I ever could have done Piano Bar.
Okay. Because there's so many tragic characters that walk in there, or why?
Because you have to assume a character. Ricky Ritzel is a character.
Yes.
In Piano Bar.
Okay.
To be able to deal with strangers and all these people night after night. I mean, you know, I would do it 6-7 nights a week sometimes. Mm-hmm. When I was single, forget about it. I'd be working every night.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
And 9 to 4 in the morning.
Yes.
Get home at 8, sleep till 7, mm-hmm. get up and do it again.
Yeah.
But I think you need that theatrical training.
100%.
Because it will wear you down if you're not a public persona. Mm-hmm. And the real person. Mm-hmm.
Yes. No, that makes absolute sense because it can really dig at you.
Absolutely. You know, it's the same as being on a cabaret stage as yourself or doing something public as yourself.
Well, see, I would, in all honesty, having been in the cabaret circuit with you, your piano is right next to people. So it's very difficult to, you're part of the crowd. So if you don't know how to separate that, it really can take you over.
Completely.
Yes, absolutely. Now, you've played for a lot of famous people.
Few.
You want to talk about any of them? Who comes to mind? Favorites.
It's strange. I've played for almost every drag queen since 1950. No, Charles Pierce, God rest his soul.
Yes.
Charles Bush, who, thank God, is still around. Vorla Jean Merman, Miss Coco Peru, and all the celebrity drag acts as well. And I'm still playing for them. I'm playing for Tommy Femia as Judy Garland.
Right.
Every other Saturday at Don't Tell Mama.
Okay, and what time is that show?
8 o'clock.
Okay, just in case anybody wants to come
and
see you.
He's been doing it 23 years.
Wow.
And he's terrific. Mm-hmm. And he has Rick Skye joining him as Liza Minnelli.
Oh, my God. I think I just died and went to heaven. I want to come see you guys.
Oh, please do. It's great.
I need the address. Like, I'm there. It sounds amazing.
Don't Tell Mamas is on 46th Street in New York,
right on Restaurant Row.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Nancy Witter is doing a show there. You know Nancy? Mm-mm. She was America's Funniest Mom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She's doing a class. She's this Friday and Saturday from, I think, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Okay.
She's teaching people how to be funny.
Mm-hmm. She's doing a comedy class.
And then the following Saturday, they're doing their show.
That sounds wonderful. I want to go.
Yeah, she's terrific.
That sounds like really fun.
Now, you've also done your own shows as well.
Yeah.
Most notably, the one that I'm most familiar with and my favorite, that's why I'm most familiar with it, is 1938.
Right, with Spider Sailoff.
With Spider Sailoff. And some amazing music came out of that. And, well, speaking of which, I think that it would be nice to listen to some of your music.
Oh, cool.
So I think the first selection that we are going to be doing was on your CD. And I can't remember the name of it.
Was it Music Maestro, Please?
Yes, Music Maestro,
that's
Please.
That's from 1938.
That's from 1938, which was where that whole segue came from. So we'll listen to a cut of that.
Tonight I mustn't think of her.
music maestro, please. Tonight I must forget how much I need her. So Mr. Leader, play your lilting melody. Ragtime, jazz time, swing, any old thing to help me ease the pain that solitude must bring. She used to like those waltzes, so don't play no waltz. She danced divinely, and I loved her so. But there I go tonight, I mustn't think of her. No more memories. Sing out, tonight I must forget. Music maestro, please. She used to like those waltzes, so don't play no waltz, play something up, something fun. She danced divinely with two left feet, and I loved her so, but there I go tonight, I mustn't think of her. No more memories. Sing out, tonight I must forget. Music maestro, please.
Wonderful. And again, that was from 1938 with Spider Sailor.
I didn't record it in 1938.
No, you didn't. Okay. The show, 1938.
Exactly. It was 38 songs from the year 1938.
Right. So I was going to say, you look really good.
Thank you. Not even Botox.
I can hear Pat laughing in the control
Botox.
Room,
gonna,
by the
I'm
way.
Tell her.
Sculptor, maybe, but not Botox.
Okay, so now we know each other from the piano bars in
Absolutely.
The West Village of New York. Don't Tell Mamas, the Duplex, Rose's Turn, when that was there. And we met some really, really interesting characters through the time.
Did we ever?
See, and now that I know that you studied acting and you know that I studied... Boy, you could pull characters to play. Oh, yeah. So tell me some of your favorite stories.
Well, I mean, the regulars that used to come to the old Duplex, I remember before I even worked there, and because I used to come up to New York from Pittsburgh, where I'm from, all through college, because I did summer stock in Jersey, and I would make friends that lived here. So I would come up and hang out with them. And would go to the Duplex. I mean, I was underage. It didn't matter back then.
Yeah.
You know? And the one group I remember was the happy hour group at the Duplex. Okay. They called the Live It Up Club. All right. There was Ada, who was weighed about 90 pounds soaking wet, who never uttered a word. Except when she wanted another drink, the hand would come out like 3D into your face. Then there was George Bruce, who looked just like his bulldog, Jingles. Remember George Bruce? Yes.
And he did, yes.
And he had a mustache and the big eyes. And there was Eleanor. Eleanor had dyed black hair, jet black hair, pulled back into a bun. And she would always wear black and be very tasteful. I'd come in after work, and she would say to George Bruce, "Why do you have so many wrinkles?" And he would say, "Oh, these aren't wrinkles. These are laugh lines." She goes, "My dear, nothing is that funny."
I like that. That's cute.
She was... and evidently, they spent nothing. They wanted everything for free. Oh. That's why they were the Live It Up Club.
Yes.
They barely tipped. And they kept coming. I mean, groups like that. Remember, and Crazy Matt. Remember Crazy Matt?
Yes.
He had this, he looked like, remember Porky from Our Gang? The
yes.
Little Rascals?
Yeah.
With that hat?
Yeah.
He looked like him grown up.
Oh, my God.
And he would have this crazy look in his eye. And he was told once that I was elected president of MAC
right.
a few years back. And he goes, "Tell him to abdicate immediately." The strangest characters. But you know, this is the duplex, the Five Oaks, Marie's Crisis. Right. They were all on Grove Street. Mm-hmm. And in the 30s, they called them upholstered sewers because they were all down steps.
They're downstairs. Right. Yeah.
But they didn't start off that way. They started off at street level.
How did they get down then?
200 years.
Oh.
You walked into that one, yeah, Annie. Did, sorry, you walked right into that one.
Really? That's interesting.
They kept paving the streets. Higher and higher. Frightening.
Yes, but good times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had a ball.
Oh, yeah. It was...
That's just the customers.
Oh, yeah. That was just the customers.
The people that worked there. I mean, one of the happy hour bartenders at the old duplex, I think before it turned into Roses.
Okay.
We used to hang out, and his name was Frank. All of a sudden, he's gone. And we wondered where he went. He ended up playing the son of Al Pacino in Godfather 3.
Wow.
That's the opera singer.
Oh, no way.
Okay.
That's when Mary gets shot on the steps.
Uh-huh. That's it.
That's a good scene.
Yeah, he's...
Not that I want Mary to get shot. You know, just that, like acting-wise.
Yeah, it was a good scene. Yeah, exactly.
Stuff like that. I mean, Idina Menzel worked at Mama's.
I did not know that. Okay.
Wow.
And that's a great fact for us too.
That's really cool.
Yes. So we talked.
Yeah, she did Spirit of New York. Remember that ship?
Mm-hmm.
That everybody worked on? She did that with Lenny Watts and Randy Lester.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Didn't know that either. So that's amazing. That so many, well... I mean, all you have to do is walk in there, and I would be intimidated by the talent that would get up there and sing and just, you know, and then go back and start serving drinks.
Right.
So, and the piano players, yourself included, but our dear friend Scott Trout, God bless him, and so many others, Timmy Moore. And
Nick Gallagher.
Yeah, that just could play anything. Without music, without sheet music in front of them.
Absolutely.
And just play it off the top of their head and entertain a crowd for, what was it, like 4 or 5 hours?
Wow.
Yeah.
No, our shift started at 9. We ended at 4. That was 7 hours.
That's insane. My God. The talent in their fingers.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's not to be underestimated.
But it's funny how things have changed. I mean, it's still called Piano Bar, but... The metamorphosis of what happened was what we considered Piano Bar is now open mics in showrooms.
Okay.
Because the Piano Bars now, very rarely do people get up and sing.
Really?
That come in.
Huh.
Hardly ever are they other singers.
Really?
Yeah, because nobody hangs out anymore.
Really?
Yeah, it's totally different. So... Mac just started an open mic. We're roving, we're doing the duplex, and Don't Tell Mama. Mac is the Manhattan Association of Cabarets. And I'm still on the board, and Lenny Watts is president. But we decided to do this open mic where we could feature Mac members who want to show off songs they've written or try out new material. And every month we're doing a different club, the last Tuesday of every month. And we realized it was like the old days downstairs at the duplex.
You see, for me, my experience is that I learned all of the show tunes that I know because that's what we would come in
exactly.
And that's what we would sing. And then it started to change a little at a time into more pop music or, I don't want to, contemporary music is really, but show tunes started getting pushed more and more in the background, which I thought was a shame because it's wonderful music and it's music that always lifts me up and, you know, it's part of our culture, it's part of the arts. And
well, the staff at these clubs usually sings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's something from Wicked, something from Les Mis, something from Mamma Mia. But then again, Mamma Mia
is not,
ABBA.
It's ABBA,
it's pop music.
You know, and you know, these songs that or jukebox musicals. Carole King is now a Broadway songwriter.
Yeah, so, apparently. Yeah.
Now, you're here in Jersey with us now. You've migrated from Pittsburgh, New York. Now you're back in Jersey, Jersey City.
And I can see the Empire State Building out of my kitchen window.
That's very so cool.
But you don't
You have to do this.
One of the prerequisites for living in Jersey is having a driver's license, and you, sir, do not.
No, I do not.
And?
My partner does. I do not. I did learn to drive. I took driver's ed in high school, and I failed, and I didn't go back. But I was doing winter stock in Florida, Naples, Florida, mm-hmm. in 1980. 80, 81. And we lived, Naples back then was almost in the Everglades. Mm-hmm. We had an alligator in the backyard.
Wow.
You called him Fred.
No. We were hoping one would just sit by the door and Phyllis would walk in. Never mind. Oh, what is that? And the dinner theater was about 2-3 miles back there.
Okay.
So we were rehearsing, I think, Andy, Get Your Gun. I went to rehearsal on the day. I had to come back, but I had to go home for some reason. I don't know what it was. And it was a cast member was going back. So he had the car, the company car. Mm-hmm. I go with him, I get a ride with him, and I said, when are you going back? He goes, I'm not, I'm done. Throws me the car keys. All right, I know what to do. So I get in the car, and we were living in a compound, which means like, sort of like an old motel.
Okay.
With a building here with three apartments on this side, a building here with three apartments on this side, and in the middle was like the TV room, and behind that was the swamp of the alligator. And in the middle was a big palm tree. I get in the car, I start it up. I can't get it out of reverse. I'm going around this palm tree. Finally, I get it out of reverse. I get it out to the street. Now, I thought, I have to cross a four-lane highway.
Oh, my God.
I know where there's a light. So if I go down this back road, make a right on this street, which is the name, the street, the same street as the theater's on, mm-hmm. on the other side of the highway, I can get a light and just go through. So I did that. So I make the right on with the light there, and then I can go straight ahead. It's dusk. It's dark. It's getting darker. There's no lights on this road. I have the lights on. All of a sudden, there's a bump. And I don't know what happened, what I did. So I stopped the car, I turned it around with the headlights on, and there's a very, very angry alligator crossing the road with a dent in its tail.
Oh my God.
I was not born yesterday. I do not get out of the car. I ran over an alligator's tail. No. And that was basically the end of my drive.
But there are no alligators in New Jersey. I'm sure you could try again.
Do you have like PTSD every time you get behind a wheel now?
I don't think I've driven since.
Bill.
How many years is that? Is that like
24, 25? Yeah. No, 34.
Well, yeah, because I'm 26. Yeah. I was born in 87. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shut up, Annie.
Ditto.
Sorry, guys.
We have time for just one more number of yours. And I, you know, do want to mention that you are going to be doing a benefit of Elaine Stritch songs.
Right.
September 28th at 4 o'clock at the Metropolitan Room. The organization is Help Is On The Way Today.
Mm-hmm.
And they help children with HIV,
right,
and all children with needs who don't have family support.
Exactly.
And so I do want to make sure that I mention that. So if you enjoyed this interview, as Annie and I have, please come out and see Ricky and support a wonderful organization. So next song that we're going to hear was number 4 on our list.
It wasn't at the Codfish Bowl.
Codfish Ball.
It was a, okay.
Yes.
Okay. That's from my Shirley Temple jazz show.
Okay. Codfish Ball.
Next Friday night, you're all invited. To a dance from 8 to 5. All those fishes still alive are having a ball. It's some affair, they'll all be there, from the herring to the whale. They'll turn out to shake a tail. Ha ha. In Neptune's ball. Come along and follow me to the bottom of the sea. We'll join in that jamboree at the Codfish Ball. Lobsters dancing in a row. Shuffle off to Buffalo. Jellyfish sway to and fro at that Codfish Ball. Finn and Hattie lead the eel through the Irish reel. Catfish is a dancing man, but it can't like a sardine can. Tuna's trucking left and right. Minnie's moochin', what a night. There won't be a hook inside at the Codfish Ball. Dancing man, but it can't like a sardine can. Tuna's trucking left and right. Oh, what a night. There won't be a hook inside at the Codfish Ball.
I've been listening to Talk of the Town on broadbandboxoffice.com, so please tune in every month. I want to thank my first guests this evening. First of all, my wonderful co-host, Annie Weiss. Thank you so much, sweetheart. It's been a pleasure to share the microphone with you.
Thank you so much. I had a great night.
And my dear friend, Ricky Ritzel, who we're going to have you back because
okay.
There's so many stories to tell. We did not even scratch the surface. And people in the listening audience, I wish you could have been here just to hear us laughing, literally turning away from microphones so we weren't guffawing. So thank you so much. It has been such a pleasure. Again, my name is Lisa Dascoli. This is Talk of the Town on broadbandboxoffice.com.
Hi, my name is Tom Ragu of the Tom Ragu Sit Down Comedy Show. You can listen to us at the Broadband Box Office. And for more information, please visit www.tomragu.com/podcast.
Hello, this is Dr. Barry Prostowski. I invite you to watch Courageous Doctors, an exciting new show on Broadband Box Office about how healthcare is affecting you today.
It's the Mark Daisy Show, filled with gifts, fun, and surprises, and $20,000 in cash for every viewer. Well, maybe not. But we do talk about stuff and things you might want to think about after, before, and during the show. It's engaging, at least. So come by, won't you? We're here at Facebook, on iTunes. We broadcast from VK Media right here on the East Coast. And we're part of BroadbandBoxOffice.com. Check us out. Come by. Like us. Do what you can. Spend some time. Take some time off. Sit down. Have a viewing. It's happening. It's now. It's controversial. Or maybe not. But we could use a couple of more viewers. Maybe starting with you. Won't you?
Hi, everybody. How are you? I'm Bob Gonzo of The Bob Gonzo Show. And I'm here to introduce The Bob Gonzo Show to you. Watch The Bob Gonzo Show on ComedyMondays.com and iTunes. Once again, ComedyMondays.com and iTunes. Watch it live, or you can watch it on the archives, which means you can watch it forever. Bob Gonzo is the greatest show on the internet right now. It's the funniest, it's the sweetest, it's endearing. We have stand-up comics, we have bands, we have actors, we have people in the fashion industry. We have everything you need. So once again, The Bob Gonzo Show, the greatest show in the world, and if you watch it, you will become a better and happier and sweeter person. You. Watch The Bob Gonzo Show, everybody. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Randy Lupo, host of The Randy Lupo Show on Broadband Box Office. Wait, is that a tongue twister or an alliteration? Come meet my favorite people, comedians, actors, writers, spiritual people, and everyone in between. I'm looking forward to seeing you.